the blessings of heaven and accept the offer to all. In times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I am most deeply bound to clean myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Yudhiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance, again and yet again, and it is so. Dharma, Saranam, Gacchami, Yudhiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance, again and yet again, and it is so. Sangam Saranam Vachachami Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the Holy Order for guidance, again and yet again, and it is so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth for suffering. Dukkha Samadaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hiridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that roots this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint in religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of least men brave prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious and bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyambi, Padyambi, Sabha. Again and yet again, if so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering. If ending the suffering means more important than anything, we will end the suffering. If ending the suffering means not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to belief. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Around that was that actually life dropped in the information to take care of
just in time to take care of it. And still you noticed a whole effect on the system of almost, you know, that making a mistake, that residual of what it felt like in the body. So, you know, what is going on there? What is supportive structure, and what is structure to avoid fear and sensation and not making a mistake?
And I kind of went for a walk, and I was recording that, and I remember, you know, Sherry talking about, something about the teacher she trained under and something around the meditation hall, and she made a mistake. And then she went and she was going to make sure she never did it again. And her teacher said, well, you missed your opportunity. And so I thought about that, and I thought, well, what if I had completely blown it? I totally made a mistake. And you know, there was that immediate reaction, like, stunk, you know, like, bummer. And so it was interesting, because then I talked about, like, what was, like, everything worked out and I dropped in, and, you know, I'm practicing while being here, expanding my awareness while I'm enjoying something. Like, I was enjoying being outside, I was enjoying my breakfast, and then it still, you know, I was like, happy you dropped in, because that's what I'm playing with. Like, can I be in enjoyment and still be expanded and not be identified with the enjoyment? And but what was interesting was that the what is didn't quite sink in. And then I thought, why didn't you talk about it in group? And then what dropped in right after that was, like, I need to just appreciate the good intention of the person. Like, I feel like she tried so hard. Mm-hmm. Like, she's so, like, the emotion, you know, I just see, like at home and all. There's so much contraction, there's so much pushing, there's so much doing, because I don't want to make a mistake. And so I saw that, and like, I see that, I think that it just made me remember, like, you know, that appreciation dissolved the wrong.
Yeah, the recording just really seeing the goodness there. Just a really, really good person. Because, you know, coming from this place of trying hard not to make a mistake, from that place of object, you know, wanting to be loved, wanting to do it right, wanting to, you know.
Yeah.
Just that's kind of a good person. She's not out trying to rob a bank and figure out how to, you know, get that done.
Yeah,
there's just that goodness, and just to see that and how it's, by this system to make it into a right and wrong sort of thing, is what you're seeing.
Yeah.
And you're talking about that. Sherry and her teacher, where she missed the opportunity when she made a mistake. You want to say more about what opportunity she missed?
Well, it's interesting because I looked at that and I thought, I just love how life just kind of goes on in an interesting way. Because before this all happened, I was recording about, you know, there's been certain things that have happened that were totally out of my control, and they were a big bummer. And so I was recording about how they've all been interesting opportunities, like even finding this practice came out of a super difficult thing that happened many, many years ago. And so that place of just trusting what's going to be there, I wouldn't choose to make this mistake, you know. And what brought me to practice wasn't, well, I don't know if it's a mistake or not, but it was just something unfortunate. And so, with sharing your teacher, what I got to is that, like, we just don't know what the opportunity is going to be. We don't know what there is for us to do from it. In that place of things so really out of control, and I don't have, like, I messed up or something happened, you know, I don't have that control, that, like, can we stay expanded enough to see what's there, like, you know, to be with it, and still stay expanded enough to see, you know, how, like, there's something There's something beyond that, beyond our control. That's where at least
that's where you got to, that there's something beyond our control, and can we stay in this state of expansion even when we're hearing that we made a mistake and the whole system is maybe responding with a ton of sensations equated with making a mistake, and you know, what's the opportunity there is just to stay in this state of expansion during whatever's
wrong. It's just like
when you say that, there's that visual of contraction.
Yeah.
Small, it's getting small. When there's that message of making a mistake. Here is this thing that you would have not actually probably chosen to have happen, to have this responsibility.
Forgotten.
And, as you said, here was the opportunity to see so much in that happening and having life respond.
Yeah.
And having it.
Yeah, and I think I just see that there's still, I think it'll be interesting to take home that there's a, but you still have to feel like you're making a mistake. Like, I'm not going to do something wrong. And so there's
a lot to look at with
yeah.
that. Yeah. Yeah. It's a practice.
It was just similar. I was walking down today and I said, the place in the workbook where you're supposed to draw a picture of the part of you that you'd like least.
Uh-huh.
Or yourself as you'd like yourself best. So I was obviously not drawing because I was walking, but I imagine that what came up is that.
I'm just going to, I don't know. Kind of. A little noisy in here this morning.
I just get wind suddenly. And so what came up was the person who feels socially inept often.
Uh-huh.
And then particularly around these phone calls I'm supposed to make for political purposes. And then what arose so clearly was that all of that is happening within conditioning. You know, that person, the phrase is, you know, the part of myself that I don't like or something like that I don't that feel good about or something like that. Well, who is that I? And who is the me?
Mm-hmm.
And what arose was it's all projection, you know? It's that there's a... The condition is projecting this I, who's going to do this, what condition directs will be a horrendous thing, and then there's a me that's going to feel terrible about that, being projected by conditioning, and then if I identify with that me, then I'll feel terrible about that. But what really came through was it's all within a conditioned system. First of all, it's not happening right now, for starters, but it's all... All the players are conditioning. They're all projections of conditioning. And I just would not have seen that. I mean, I would have still seen it more as, well, I have to rise to this occasion. I have to, you know? But the I that's being projected isn't even this being.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. I mean, so you're doing the homework with the year-long retreat, and you're right on track with what your assignment is right now. And yeah, you know, having that opportunity to see that whole drawing a picture of the person with the qualities that you least like,
mm-hmm.
doesn't have anything to do with
this
person. And you know, it's all seeing all that it's all projection of ego.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and not you know how things like that just get kind of folded in and taken for granted without that kind of itself, you know, without that kind of examination.
Well, in the I language and the me language, you know,
yeah.
just, and then the next questions were like, what is the name of this person? And I said, the name of this person is ego. And, you know, what does the person get out of it? Well, it gets all my attention. It gets all my attention. Just to create a scenario and then get me to live within it and think it's mine.
Yes. Yeah, and have to fix it.
Yeah.
Then, you know. And
yeah,
then,
or endure it.
And what?
Endure it.
Endure it. Yeah. And the whole time, just having that not quite good enough story going on because of this quality that's being fit, right?
Thinking that, well, if the calls don't go well, that's my fault.
Uh-huh.
If they go well, that's my fault.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did that.
Yeah.
And I just got, it's all made up. And so, when I was sitting here during the sit, was realizing that understanding that doesn't necessarily, I was resonating what was just said, understanding that doesn't necessarily make the, oh my God, feeling go away in my gut when I think about my thoughts. Or when I sit down to actually pick up the phone. But at least it gives me the chance to know that by picking up the phone, I might be able to move beyond that feeling.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
First of all, let me reflect here. You see that, first of all, just seeing that and having the knowledge that that's a whole made-up story that has nothing to do with it, doesn't automatically just release us from all of the habitual sensations that we have attached to that story.
Yeah.
But,
well, you see, what conditioning us to do is saying, not to understand it, you don't have to make phone calls.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So understanding it is not necessarily going to make the feelings go away.
Uh-huh.
It will be important to go ahead and make the phone calls so that then I can experience whatever I experience.
Yeah.
Myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you can experience whatever is there to experience it in a state of curiosity or interest. And, you know, I project, you know, it's like it's unraveling the system where ego would say, well, you know, you don't have to do this. You don't understand what's going on. You got to figure this out. And then you have no sensations. And then it's okay to do it. But no.
Yeah.
It's great to do it. Have the sensation. Yeah.
And we say don't do it because you understand it. Or we say since you understand it, it should be agreed.
It should be agreed.
I don't want to speak. I don't want to say the truth.
Yeah. Exactly. And the watching is what's... Yeah.
Right.
Great.
Thank you.
My turn.
Well, I'm having a great time in the kitchen. And, I'm having a great time in the kitchen. And earlier I was talking about, and something I've been working with is like sort of that moment where there's a ego takeover, and how to be present with that, how to just accept what is without going into the judgment, criticism, have to fix it, like just being with what is. And I was, well, how do I do that, you know? And some ways that I found is just like, hello, this, or, you know, hello, tree, hello. Hello, this or that, and then, you know, hello, irritation, or hello, you know, you can kind of expand from that, and that's been really fun. And even like, you know, I've worked in, done working meditation before, but, you know, and I've, you know, heard like, okay, chopping, watching, but, it's hard. I've never been able to stay with that for very long, and so I've been like, "Oh, this is a spoon. Spoons are nice. Thank you, spoons. Spoons are great for this." Or, you know, just kind of naming a couple qualities of whatever. Like, hello, lettuce. You're nice and crisp. You're nice and green. You know. And anyway, it's just been really a great experience and fun to do it. And also, like, how the first day here, I was kind of, you know, arriving, and physically it was kind of hard, and just how, like, recognizing how without practice or without guidance or without lots of paying attention how the whole week could have been sort of this resentful, like just that was where it was coming up the first day, of like just feeling kind of irritable and wanting to be a really generous person who's really happy to be here and happy to support everyone and happy to cook and clean and, you know, but not really feeling at all. And so just by allowing that to be there, like all this other stuff kind of and ways to be with it, like ways to welcome whatever it is and ways to, yeah, it's really good.
So there's a lot in that, yeah. So it sounds like your practice has been being with what is during this time in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And arriving, you know, with the jet lag, even though maybe not on a jet, but, you know, just that transition.
Yeah.
You know, and the heart just like, oh, wants to be here, be of service, and just love. You know, noticing other qualities sneak in that are labeled as not so desirable.
Yeah.
And it sounds like there was that willingness to just be with that. And being with the things exactly the way that they were, things opened up. And that as ideas dropped in or ways dropped in to be, as you said, you find it a little bit hard to just chop. Of the peeled potatoes.
Yeah.
And just be present. But you notice that if you just welcome the thing in your hands or named it or acknowledged, you know, what the good qualities were, it's just in being present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just made it fun. And even, you know, just like the wash tubs, like, oh, this is probably made in a factory. Oh, people probably worked in the factory. Like, just this way that, but like, oh, I can connect to this thing because there's a whole bunch of stuff that happened to it before it came here. So that was also fun. And the other thing I wanted to say was my sister's here on the retreat, and, you know, she's 1 year older than me, and I had 5 kids in my family. My parents weren't really very present, I guess, or just really weren't on the job too much. And almost everything I've learned about myself is, like, from her, who's 1 year older. Like, she was this, like, older, wiser, knew everything. Everything I knew about myself came from her, from somebody 1 year older than me.
Yeah. She had a little bit of 1 year ahead.
Yeah, 1 year ahead.
Yeah.
And she couldn't be more different on a personality level than me. So it's been this, you know, love-hate relationship in a way. Like, I kind of learned self-hate from that relationship, because if I'm not, if that doesn't work for me, and I don't have any other way to do it, and so there's something wrong with me because I can't do it like that. We were in the meditation hall, and she was doing her, you know, bowing to the room, and I just had this moment of, like, just love and just recognizing how robbed I've been of that relationship, you know, like how complicated it is and how struggling it is and how self-hate it's been, and just even for 1 second in 55 years to be able to see the love was just really amazing.
So to just be in the meditation hall and be present with someone that has been in your whole life, someone that you thought knew who you looked up to, who you tried so hard to define, you know, to figure out who you were through this person, because that's all you knew, you know, and to suddenly have that moment of that separation drop way that identification and just feel the love and how you've been robbed of that relationship with ego of always, you know, having it be someone that you're kind of trying to meet a standard with.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Pretty. Wow. So, yeah, so it just feels like a similarity, too, with like the process going on in the kitchen, you know, of just moving through that place of resistance in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then coming to that place of love for whatever is in your hands.
Yeah, and there is a connection because it's like a resistance to, if she's the enemy, I don't want to do anything to support her, you know, like, even though I encouraged her to come here and plan to be here when she was here, like, I could see that dynamic taking over of, like, giving to her is taking in me, like, that whole way, and that just could have taken over.
Yes.
And it didn't, and it's just
it's so amazing. I mean, it's said over and over again, we don't have to actually be in the retreat to be doing the retreat. and it just sounds such an experience of that, you know, that here you are working in the kitchen and
because that's, it was like, I want to be in the retreat. Why does she get to be in the retreat? And it's like, actually, I am on the retreat. No, anyway, I think a lot.
It's an experience.
Yeah.
You know, that we all, whatever it is that we're looking at or bring the group or doing the retreat is affecting people.
Yeah, if we can bring that compassion, like if that compassion is there, like, yeah.
Yes, it's distracting me so much in all three of those conversations that, my projection anyway, is that we are just all finding our way back to our goodness.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they're doing.
How often do we see on that whiteboard, you are goodness,
Well, and even, and I won't give anything away because I know this is a recording. Well, no, that's okay. What I was going to say is, in a certain movement that happened in that retreat, people get to be in touch with their goodness. And that's exactly what we've all been describing and talking about. And it's what I was looking at, too. So the first conversation was talked about making the what keeps us from our goodness is the fear of making a mistake. And I'm sorry, my ear is stuck up. Am I talking really loudly? Or is this okay?
No, I don't think it's possible to talk.
Because it feels like I'm screaming in my own ear. But so the way it is, my version of that is justifying myself. So something will happen. I thought that this is this, so, and the precedence, and so, okay, so I'm okay. You know, it's like all roads lead to, so I'm covered. My head's covered. I'm okay. I've got my extended. If I'm called on it, I'll know what to say, you know, and what to communicate and all that. And over the years of this, of watching this process of justification, realizing and having the experience of this place and this practice, that is never needed.
Never needed.
That no matter how many times I mean, legitimately, my butt was uncovered. I mean, I really literally deserved whatever, you know, scolding or correction or anything that happened, and it never came.
Such a good point that you make. It's such a good point. That whole conversation of justification is going on with ego. And what we get here at the monastery in practice is not ego. So it's never going to go to that place of...
Never.
No, and no one has ever said...
Now, what were you thinking when you did this? Tell me your whole process, because we got to decide who's to blame here.
Exactly.
Who's at fault here.
Right.
And, you know, in an earlier conversation, conversation with Sherry just this past week or so, someone was talking about doing it wrong and how kind the guidance is when there is correction. And Sherry said something like, it has to be that way. I mean, in other words, we have to encounter that kindness enough to get it, that all that fear of mistake, all that fear of needing to be justified and be found innocent, all that is not necessary.
Not necessary. There is nothing wrong with you.
Yeah. So
it has to be kind. There's no other option.
Yes, and I think, you know, just in the course of what we're doing and supporting the retreat, I just keep finding my prayer being everybody can see their goodness. Because I see everybody's goodness so like beacons, you know? And so to bring that back to finding our way back to goodness, I see that the process that I go through, you know, dozens of times a day, and I think it's just where I am right now in my finding my way back to that goodness is, you know, something will become up. I don't know, it doesn't matter what, but, you know, I don't know if the example would help. Okay, yeah, I plugged in the extension cord a little earlier this week, this morning. And it's like, and the reason that that's okay is because I'm gonna, because I might be, you know, in a hurry to get ready, and I don't want to. Okay, so that's why it's okay. And then I'll remember.
I'm laughing because it's because I think if we all raised our hands, we're all in this. I mean, maybe not, but I recognize that continual. Yeah.
And so when I watch that process happen, I can hear myself, the heart, come in and go. And it's all okay anyway. Remember, we're all okay. And then that's when I get to feel the body relax and I can drop it. And it's not a problem that justification process happens because it's met with love. I get to drop it, and pretty, you know, someday it'll not be necessary to do that. Justify, meet with love, relax, know we're fine. Justify, meet with love, relax, know we're fine. Maybe eventually it'll be justify, comes up, know we're fine. And on those middle steps will be not needed, and I won't even be interested in entertaining in any way that first process. But right now, that little karmic process is still kind of running, still kind of spinning. It's not getting me like it used to, because I can do these other steps. And that's perfectly fine.
And so much like what Monica was speaking to.
Yes.
You know, and just meeting it all. With, you know, just meeting it all and being there. And our authentic nature happens to be one of unconditional love. So we need to just practice. With that. And just seeing how it eventually, you know, brings us to that place of maybe not living in continual justification.
Yeah, to where it can just be, I don't care, I just like to. And that is what I project the story that Sherry told about when she forgot to bow leaving the hall, and then boy, the next day, this is just my remembrance. She made sure she kept that structure, and she made that vow because she, you know, had been sort of brutalized about it the day before, and that's when her teacher said, you missed your opportunity. She would walk out without bowing and she would even thumb in her nose at ego, you know, and take that. I don't care, I choose unconditional love. You know, I don't know if that was at all what the point was. That was the point I got. And that's what I aspire to. Is that just, I don't care, I could be just as guilty as sin itself, and I don't care, I choose unconditional love.
Bring on more opportunities for me to be guilty. You know, to
exactly.
Have to choose that unconditional love over and over and over again, because, you know, as Tracy was saying, if we're working so hard all the time to try and get it right, and we don't ever have to make that terrible mistake, we don't get that opportunity to just fall into love in the middle of that mess and just have freedom.
Exactly. In the midst of all this. And all that. We don't get that and then choose unconditional love, we miss it.
We
miss it. We pop them off. So bring it on.
Yeah.
I was just looking at my experience of that story about you missed your opportunity. And I remember hearing Sherry say something once about how what the teacher was pointing at was you missed your opportunity not to go to that ego process and conditioned mind of I can't get it wrong this time. I've got it, like, kind of having attention on that process of control to make sure I don't miss the bow the second time. And I was just looking at how that's been showing up for me, that when I first got to the monastery just a couple of weeks ago and came right into supporting the retreat, I was just in the structures, like, held by them. I didn't know nothing. I was just, there was the schedule, all I had to do was show up to the kitchen at these times. That was it. And I just noticed a relaxation in that, where there was just this, there was just such a kindness in the transition. Like, I don't know nothing and it's all right. there was just a patience, just letting it take a time, getting a bearings, remembering where stuff goes. Just, you know, it's okay, it's all right, just take your time, I'm with you. And it was just this open, loving innocence where it was just like, you can feel that openness to just asking the questions, there's something that's not clear, asking the questions, and it's all alright. So there's that recent experience, and then for this retreat, there's been this kind of shift where I'm more in a role of, like, knowing what the structures are, helping communicate what the structures are, helping orient people to stuff, and it's like I just noticed a lot of conditioning kick in and a lot of like more ego trying to make it about itself, and more of that fear of making a mistake and of closing down, and all of the kind of overload that comes with that. And so just noticing that happening, especially at the start of the retreat, and what's dropping in is I got to see a film recently, Christopher Robin, about Christopher Robin growing up after he left the Hunger Games Awards and Winnie the Pooh and all his friends. And when we first see him in the film, he's like really in his I've got my important briefcase and my important papers. I've got my important papers. And he's like in this like you know, kind of living in that ego world of serious important papers and doing it right and lost the not in touch with the goodness, with the innocence and the joy, with that big expanded capital L love perspective. And I just had some moments this week of, oh, I feel in that series, I've got my important papers, I've got my briefcase. And it's just like what that film showed me, and it was just had a really profound effect on me, was without giving away the ending, what he found was possible was to participate in his grown-up world and his grown-up job from the place of Woody the Pooh and the 100-acre wood, right? And so that's been just with me so much when I saw that building up. I haven't stopped talking yet. Director's cut. I just realised I'm going to stop in a second. So was that I was like, oh, there's that. I've got my important papers and I've got my briefcase, like, kind of ego sort of making about me sort of collapse seriously. And what I've been practicing ever since I saw that film is just talking like Pooh. Like, just imagining when you're the Pooh there. So, like, just doing the more kind of, you know, doing the tasks and the responsibilities and practicing being in that place of innocence and openness and like that.
Big training. Wow. Yeah. How long have you been here? 2 weeks or so. you know, in this fashion, this whole progression from no responsibility, just follow the schedule, how relaxing to just show up and do what's on the piece of paper.
Yeah.
And then, you know, practice for you as time, you know, we get to practice at higher and higher levels.
Exactly.
And then there's this opportunity to assume more responsibility, and there's, quote, well, more opportunities to, quote, get things wrong. And, yeah, and then how, watch how ego just slides in there now with the seriousness of throwing it to Christopher Robbins. Important papers, and I, you know, I can, you know, I've got this job to do, and it's important I get it right, and you know, everything. And this, wow, I love it that life just threw in a practice film in the middle of it. You know, just when things might have built up to the seriousness, to and there was the openness, and the expansion to see how, you know, see what was there to see. And how it might be applied to one's experience.
Exactly. Yeah. And two things drop in as I heard that reflected. One, it's a perfect "there is nothing wrong with you" retreat, because it's like getting to see that moment where the conditioning kicks in of you should know stuff, you're supposed to know stuff.
Yeah.
Right, as it happened, you know, whenever we got that message as little people, and or whatever happened, you know, in this karmically conditioned system with that message, you know, like that. And then also that we were sitting in the pavilion the other day, and what dropped in was, so that, you know, what that experience of that first week of being here and being so held by the structures was modeling was being held by light structures and like being held by, you know, as Bankai talked about it, the unborn Buddha mind. All is resolved perfectly in the unborn Buddha mind. The information that you need is given to you. When you need it, you can relax. And so that first experience, that first week, was just the structures really supported that. And then what I saw was, when I saw that karmic, like that stress process building around, I've got to somehow know the structures or manage them or whatever, it was like, okay, well, I'm relaxing into that big structure of the unborn Buddha mind, of life, you know, that will inform, and I can trust that. So that is just the building of that of that training.
Yeah.
Like, nothing's different. It just
nothing. Yeah. It's the same. It's the same process in both places.
Exactly.
It's relaxing into that unborn Buddha mind first. It seems like it's a small, you know, container that, you know, that's really safe, and then the container keeps expanding with more opportunities, but it's still the same opportunity.
Exactly. Exactly. It's the same process, the same practice of just in a conversation back here, receiving information, and just really challenging and fun training.
Challenging and fun training.
And just that, just this one last thing of, like, so what I've been realizing is, you know, you just choose it. You just choose going beyond it. Choose every day. Choose it. And when it gets you, and, you know, it's like, well, yeah, you got that one, then it's like not giving attention to that, but just keep choosing it. Oh, yeah, you got that one. I got really overloaded, and that just really kicked off that thing. Keep choosing it. No self-hate. Keep choosing it.
This seems so critical. This is just how the focus of the attention every day on choosing, moving beyond. That's the focus. And so bring it on. Doesn't matter what the heck happens during the day. There's just, you know, there's that recommitment.
Yes.
You know, the whole time. And that's that's it.
Yeah, it's the I don't care, I choose unconditional love. Right. Oh yeah, not yet, the Buddha.
Yeah.
I choose unconditional love. Yeah. You know, just,
yeah. Wow. Talk about relaxing. Well, I know the whole thing is not altogether relaxing because of all the sensations and everything, but it is, it's the practice,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just, as you describe it, I mean, in your hand, it's such a bigger place to live,
yeah,
than that, oh my God, don't let me make a mistake,
mm-hmm.
You know, and come from that other place as well. I'm here to go beyond whatever happens.
Yeah.
So bring it on.
Yeah, so I've been seeing a missed opportunity, and I've been seeing a missed opportunity.
I still didn't get it.
A missed opportunity.
A missed opportunity, okay. Alright, got it.
And one of the things that's been coming back pain and sleepiness, particularly in the afternoon meditations, and sort of trying to just sort of be with that. But there's a lot, it's like there's a control thing going on. Well, you can't come here and have back pain because you're sleeping, you're supposed to, you know. So I've been sort of working with that, and last night, I'm going to get up early. I'm going to have a good night's sleep, and so, you know, and not so much with associates, it's going to be fine. Somebody's going to be fine. And I had all this sort of energy in the body, and I couldn't get to sleep very easily.
I'm laughing because I can still relate. Yeah, so there's this plan. Yeah, but tomorrow because you're
going to
get a good night's sleep, and yeah.
And, you know, so I just sort of managed to get to sleep, and then I had bats were coming into my ear. So I had to sort of get out of that bed, and it was sort of the middle of the night, and I was trying to get these bats out, and So I'm sort of dancing around, you know, get these things out. And, it wasn't going to plan at all. But like, that was how life is unfolding, wasn't it? That you know, there was no doubt about it. I didn't invite them in. That was life unfolding. And we've been talking about sort of the wild creatures and stuff. And really, I was thinking these bats are just horrible. But, you know, lying in bed and they're all these horrible flappy wings. And But anyway, I got them out, and I sort of went back to bed, and then some more came in, and it sort of went on, and eventually I realised I'd just put the lights on, they won't come in, so I just left it open, it was okay. But, so it was just seeing that control thing, and that I think life was inviting me there, because to come and play, you know, play with the bats. And not take it so seriously,
yeah.
And to let go of that. You know, this morning I thought this could be, you know, something I really want to remember, actually. Yeah. When the bats came in, you know.
What a good point. I mean, none of these things are anything we would ever choose.
Yeah.
And yet the most memorable things are the things we would never choose. You know, the night the bats came in. And what I thought about that.
Yeah.
And then all about there was my plan to, you know, yeah, the things go a certain way, and how is it when things don't go?
Yeah, so here I am, I'm having my life, here I am, and to show up and be that for us. So I do think I kind of missed the opportunity, but I kind of saw it this morning. Oh, right, yes, that's, and so tracing that back, and so really what the body is doing as well is that's how life is unfolding, and to be with that and have that same sort of playful attitude, and it's really great with the retreat being here, because it's remembering that, you know, that there is nothing wrong, you know, I love you no matter what, and all that, to remember that, so... So to come back to compassion for the body.
Yeah, really.
The whole of life.
Right. here's a really good person. Came to practice at a monastery for a month, you know, and then conditioned mind goes at him about you shouldn't be having back pain. That wasn't in the program, you know, and you shouldn't be sleeping, and you shouldn't have baths in your room, and you know, all this stuff. And then, you know, to just see, well, the opportunity and to be kind with this person.
Yes, and really sort of taking that on, that's kind of my job really, is to come back to that kindness,
yeah.
and sort of taking more responsibility for that, I think. Mm-hmm. But oh yeah, that it's down to me to do that, not to hope that, you know, everything will all sort of work, you know, as it should, and to take responsibility for the human, so that seems to be very. That sort of stepping in and saying, right, I'm going to take that
home. Like I have a new responsibility, and that is not good. But I like that being kind was put in the sentence with taking responsibility. You know, there's that beautiful responsibility.
Yeah, it's a very, it's something very beautiful about that. Isn't
it is something very beautiful.
It's not kind of just, you know, grinding away. It's a very beautiful practice.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
it could be a kindness to try and maybe write the guest list to see if there's a way to block the entrance of that.
Well, I may have sort of seen this left, but yeah.
Just to make sure that kindness doesn't mean I have to put up with everything that happens to me without saying a word. But
there is that. But my friends are now going to make friends. I make friends with myself.
Exactly. What a wonderful, made friends with myself. It's just,
I was looking at, I love that example. Because, you know, I used to be so afraid when I went to the bathroom to come. And I don't know if it's still there, but in Circle Drive, there was this thing hanging from the wall that was a hummingbird. And I didn't see it the first night I stayed there. So I woke up in the middle of the night and looked, and that! And I covered myself up, awake all night, but there wasn't that there. You know, so it was just kind of that on our head if we don't just look up and attend to life with great kindness. Anyway, I could relate because, of course, that process doesn't stay at the monastery. You know, I leave the monastery in that same sort of... dismissal of the bat. So I was thinking about that careful swing for me of not getting, somebody talked about it, making a phone call, you know, not getting, like going to, okay, fine, you know, now I'm okay with bats now. So no need to, you know, say anything because no need to make that call. But not really. You know, I mean, it's fine. I'll talk to people who agree with me. You know, it's kind of the thing that I do in my system. So I saw this thing yesterday that I came for guidance. And, you know, I'm talking about life, and I have a lot of life right now, just a lot of content. And that's, you know, kind of plugging up the brain. And I said, well, there's this one thing. You know, I don't really, you know, it's not that important to talk about. It was just so helpful because it was just encouraged to, when that goes on, to look at it, to look at all the things that this is saying about life. Well, it's not that bad. I mean, you know, I've got a handle on it, and, you know, I can, and that those, the support and, you know, and I really don't like it when people ask right now, how are you? Because, you know, I don't really have time to think about that. You know, my daughter's going to college in a week, and I got to get all that together, and my husband's kind of ill, and I got to take care of him, and, you know, the dogs, and the 11-year-old has got a cold, and so, you know, I don't really, of course, gets, there's this thing that happens when I'm sitting in guidance and it's suggested I might look at maps, just a process map, just to see what's going on up there. And what I noticed when I sat down to do it, which is a miracle in and of itself, quite honestly, right? I went right home and did it, which, you know, there's this piece of paper. I go into my youngest room to read to her because she's sick, but she's doing something, she's playing. And I had this piece of paper right there and a pen, and I thought, well, I suppose I can have it now. And it was so helpful to see, because what people have been pointing at that doesn't occur to me when I'm in the middle of it is to simply move to that place of great love for this person living this experience right now. And that that is the antidote. You know, that's the portal. That's the way to know that there's no mistakes and there's no right or wrong, and I don't have to stay in that. What's the right, what's not right? Well, maybe it's getting out that, maybe it's, you know, that thing that starts to happen to pull me out of a glass of water and an ounce of love. You know, it's just kind of that. But it doesn't occur to me until I do these things. You know, report, you know, just report. Yeah. Just show up for guidance. Just come to group. Just say what's up. You know, and then all of a sudden there's that, oh. And I watched as people were talking, you know, that razor's edge of getting, you know, okay, I'm listening, and then there's that, I'm in love. And then there's that sickening dread. Oh, but I still have to make that call. I don't want to make the call.
Yeah.
It's not really that important. It's too much. I just want to be, and, you know, I don't really want to talk about this one. You know,
because
it makes me sick to think about it. When I think about doing it from that place, but then there's that going back to the hermitage tonight. All right. You know, for me, you know, my hermitage. Okay, there's love. Every step I take, I'm going to stay as close to this person as possible. And most likely, because I know this person, I'm going to get caught and I'm going to go off. Ah, there's that, you know. And then I'm going to flip in there. Oh, it's not the big deal. I'll be friends with them. Look back to me. Ah, look at that. You know, that's my process that happens in here. But there's also this bigger experience that I know because I've practiced enough. Doesn't mean I can make it happen, because anytime I try to, you know, okay, I'm going to be in love.
Right.
You know, it's like,
now I have the recipe.
Right, the recipe is.
Yeah.
Don't be in the moment and experience love. But then it's a quick way into, okay, I should be in love.
Yeah.
I'm not. Well, I was thinking of, like, if we, you know, I just so related to picking up the phone and having to make that call, so I thought it would be funny if, first is, I'm really nervous, I feel a little bit inadequate, and that's kind of blocking me from telling you about something I'm really excited about. Now it's really you. But just, it was, just being with whatever's here.
Helpful. I know, I love that you said it. It's showing up.
Yeah.
You know, you described just showing up. You know, showing up for the guidance appointment, showing up for whatever is there. And then, you know, in that showing up, we get all the information that's needed, you know. And you're talking about that, but how frequently the dismissal happens of this human being's experience, you know, and not showing up for her, you know, to just like that, it's this, you know, like, well, she's not important, she does, that's a little thing, we don't need to look at that, you know, and then, you know, but something pulls her to move beyond that, to take the information, to do the process now.
It's
so cool.
That's so cool.
I mean, we're like the luckiest people in the world.
Yeah.
Because it is what happens when we just sit on the cushion.
Life with the process mapper.
I know, and believe me, I like recording and listening and process mapper. I love sitting on the cushion. Actually not hard for me. So to have the paper and pen there, and to, I don't know, I mean, it's like a miracle.
It is a miracle.
It's like a miracle.
It is a miracle.
Yeah.
Wow, talk about it. The structure.
Yeah.
It is a miracle of the structure of miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And we just relax into that.
And it's all a miracle. Because the best stories we tell 10 years from now are about the bats, you know, or about that time when, the funniest stories amongst tell are about that kind of thing.
This one is quite delicate. Doesn't feel like it in the moment, and when we're hearing a whole lot about what should and shouldn't be happening, and
Thank you.